It's always a great joy for me to celebrate this Eucharist with you here at the Cathedral. So thank you for getting up so early on this cold January morning and coming here to celebrate the glory of our faith, the love of Christ made manifest in the liturgy. Just this past week, sadly, I found out that a good friend of mine was diagnosed with a terrible form of cancer, and she's 36 and has four children. And it reminded me of the shortness of our life and the startling truth that every single one of us is really hanging here by a thread. And we're lulled into the complacency at times that we have so many years to live. And yet, which one of us can determine the exact length of our life? Which of us knows what's going to happen tomorrow? It's that urgency, it's that sense that time is running out, it's that call to respond to God in this moment that we hear in all the readings this morning. Jonah was probably the most reluctant prophet in the Old Testament. He did not want to go to Nineveh. He did everything in his power to get out of it. Took a ship in the opposite direction. God would not let him off the hook. So he finally surrenders. He finally goes to this vast city filled with thousands of people and proclaims this message of conversion. And in his heart, he doesn't want the people to convert. He doesn't want it to work. He wants to see them destroyed. That's how contrary and even hateful he is. And yet the message has a power of its own. So even though it's delivered by someone as unwilling as Jonah, this message of conversion reaches the hearts even of the king in his palace and the poorest people on the fringe of the city. And much to Jonah's wonder, the people do convert. They do turn back to God. They turn away from their sin, and God repents of the evil that he was planning for the city of sinners. Today's second reading, Paul says to us, time is running out. In his day, Christians were convinced that before the end of their earthly lives, Jesus Christ would return in the fullness of his second coming and establish his kingdom. And so they lived with the sense of urgency. They lived with the sense that any day now, any moment now, just around the corner, Christ is going to show up. And so the present moment took on a tremendous importance in light of that sense of the brevity of it all. And in today's gospel, Jesus calls his apostles in the midst of their busy task of being fishermen, of being husbands, of being fathers. And he doesn't say, go home and think about it. He doesn't say, talk about it with your friends and then come back to me in 2 weeks when you've made your decision. He calls them now. And the gospel says that they're so convicted of the urgency and the truth of Jesus' call that they leave everything behind and they follow him. So there's something radically urgent about the message of God to us this morning. That we can't count on all these tomorrows that we simply assume are going to be here. That we can't put off our conversion to some mythical point in the future that when you think about it, we have no guarantee we'll ever arrive. That in a sense, we have to live in the immediacy of the present moment, realizing that it's right here and right now that God calls us to a heroic sanctity, to fall in love with him, to do something for him that no one else can do. If you think back to 9/11, remember going to church the Sunday after 9/11? Do you remember that? I distinctly remember it. And church was packed. I mean, there were people at Mass on the Sunday after 9/11 that hadn't been there probably since Easter. And they came because of the sense of crisis, of urgency in our country at that moment. But you remember going to Mass 2 Sundays later? It all went back to normal, didn't it? The crisis had passed. And maybe it's unrealistic to think that we can live with that sense of crisis, that sense of urgency all the time. But does not God call us to reflect on our final end as the inspiration to form this present moment. So think about heaven for a minute. Think about the fact that God has created you to fall in love with Him and to live with Him forever in the kingdom of heaven. And that heaven is forever. And that heaven is the most joyful moment in your life multiplied by infinity. That in heaven we will be free of all of sin, all of death, all the things that make us afraid and worried, all the things that encumber us. And we will be radically free to simply love God with every fiber of our being. That's our destiny. That's our purpose. And if you think that that's our end, then what can we do today to prepare ourselves for that ecstatic experience? How can we live today as if, in a sense, heaven is already here? Our Catholic faith tells us that this earthly liturgy, this Mass this morning, is a participation in the glorious liturgy of heaven. And so if we could put on supernatural lens, we would see angels flying around here. We would see the Blessed Virgin Mary standing right there to the right of the altar. We would see all the saints. We would see our loved ones who have gone before us and are in the arms of Jesus forever. To think of that final moment of destiny when all peace, all justice, all mercy will be fulfilled gives an urgency to this present moment. Because, relatively speaking, it means in about 15 minutes we're all going to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to ask us, what did you do with your life? What did you do with your life? Did you give it away? Did you hand it down? Did you sacrifice it? Did you make it a gift? Did you live your life for others and for God? Or did you simply quietly, comfortably, complacently live it for yourself in safety? Is that not the question that today's liturgy compels us to answer? And so there's something that each one of us can do this morning and this day and this week and this year for life in the womb, as we sadly commemorate the anniversary of Roe versus Wade today. There's something that each one of us can do for pregnant mothers who have a crisis pregnancy. There's something that we can do for prisoners and for the poor and for the homeless and the sick. There's something that we can do to make our spiritual life better, to make our experience of God deeper, to allow ourselves to take that one step forward that God is urging us to embrace. What is that? It may look different for each one of us, but God is coaxing each one of us to fall a little more deeply in love with Him, to make a little bit more of a radical commitment to Him, to realize the urgency of this moment and to respond. We have the choice to live each day of our life in the glory of God's love for us. Or we have the choice to go about business as usual and say, yeah, that's wonderful, but I have other things to do. What is it that we have put off that needs to be done? Maybe it's to reconcile with someone in our family or with a friend. Maybe it's to really deepen our life of prayer this year. Maybe it's to get involved in a particular project that is tugging at our heart. Whatever it is, this urgent, zealous Jesus Christ stands at our side today, beckoning us, urging us, calling us to say the time is short. Our lives are running out. Pretty soon we're all going to be dead, and we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And all of that is coming. When we look at that in the light of God's mercy, it should not fill us with fear or dread. It should fill us with joy. It should fire us up. It should give us the energy to do God's work here on earth for the few short years that we have been given. I'm 48 years old, and it seems like yesterday I was 20. And when you're 48, you realize that probably you're on the second half of your life. And more it hits me. I have only a few years to live, so I better get with it, because I really haven't done yet what God wants me to do. So I need to start today. I need to start right now. I need to start with you. I need to start with Christ. The power of the message today wakes us up, even at 8:32 a.m. on a cold Sunday morning in January. And we praise God for that. Because God loves us enough to wake us up so that we can be His people, we can be His saints. And like the apostles, we can leave behind whatever it is that keeps us from following Christ in this moment.